on KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. It's Chatterbox, where you'll find the latest news, interviews, and updates about the gaming world. The views and opinions expressed are those of the host, the guests, and callers only, and not necessarily those of KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. And now, here's your hosts for Chatterbox.
All right, we're here. This is Chatterbox Video Game Radio, and I'm Alon.
And my name is Aura.
And my name is Rich.
You don't have a subtitle this time around?
Aura
the Troglodyte.
The Troglodyte?
No, you know, it's actually supposed to be Troglodyte.
It doesn't really matter, does it?
No.
Wait, I mean, I'll be the Troglodyte if it's opposite day.
Right? Okay. I don't think that. I'm just relaying what our listeners put in.
No, it's cool, you know, like
John, in the online chat.
John Blow can endure ad hominem attacks on the web. I can certainly endure them over the air.
I just got to say quick, Zelda Player 64, you can't spell in chat, so
yeah.
I type it, but I don't want to.
Well, I think it's safe to have low expectations of our listeners.
He spelled Diskaya, D-I-S-K-I-A.
Are you
okay,
are you really
criticizing
someone for misspelling Diskaya?
I just think it looks really funny.
Come on. Let's not criticize.
Obviously, it's a weird word to spell, but it's really funny
here.
The way he spelled it.
All right.
Yeah. Anyways, ignore me.
And honestly, Diskaya is probably one of the hardest fake words to spell.
Exactly. We can't be too hard on them. All right, so this is a video game radio show. That means we talk about the video game industry, whatever is on our minds relating to games, or oftentimes not related to games.
Like drugs.
Sure. You can go to chatterboxgameshow.com to learn more about us. Also, the people here involved with this show are also involved in starting up a new sister website, Golgatron.com. Head over to Golgatron.com if you want to
Does
see what we've been doing.
Is it a sister website?
See, I don't know what to call it.
A cousin website? A
mother website?
Tumor website?
I don't know, a twin
tumor.
But it's more the traditional website where we write articles and show pictures and stuff.
Yeah.
Whereas Chatterbox Game Show is related to the radio show.
And as Alon has pointed out to me, I don't write good.
Yeah. Well.
and apparently, as he pointed out to me, I write long.
Yeah.
You didn't need me to point that out.
But no,
I don't like
certainly not. And I do defend my position by asserting that it's new games journalism.
Yeah. Oh, no, Aura sent me this article. He's like, it kind of rambles on at the end. If you want to cut it short, feel free. I don't have time to go through all of that. That is a novel. But anyway, we certainly invite our listeners to become readers over at Golgotron.com. It's kind of partially named after the old school NES game. Does anybody remember that?
What, Golgo 13?
Exactly.
And anime, I might add.
Yes, well, I mean, it started off as an anime. I know it from the Nintendo, right? Because I don't really do a lot of anime stuff. But it definitely started off as an anime. And apparently there's been like a resurgence. There's a new Golgo 13 game coming out on the DS sometime soon.
Nice.
So
I'm just warning you,
I hope
guys,
I don't get upset
right
me.
Now. I just got to warn you guys right now that I'm really hoping that I won't have to vacate the room and vacate something else in the midst of
I really don't. Hope you have to.
All right.
Hope you don't have to. I don't know.
Anyway, go ahead and take a look at that website if you feel like it, and give us your feedback. We all have, you know, email addresses, alonararich@golgotron.com. All right, so we've got a lot of stuff to talk about. Again, Ara has some stuff. I have at least one thing that I want to mention, which might be able to fit in before the second break, but you also want to pitch another quiz that we're going to have towards the end of the show.
That's right. Just like we did the past two shows, it's an unprecedented running for this show. We're going to do the Chatterbox quiz again on our last segment, so that's going to be in about 40 minutes.
And we're independent thinkers. We're not like those other shows that have you do a quiz and then we give you like some sort of cool giveaway.
That's right. We give you something much more significant, much more meaningful.
Yeah, we're not going to give you anything tangible for this because that's just not how we roll.
That's just below us.
We're more
really.
Intellectual.
And that's right. And really, we'd be doing you a disservice.
Exactly. By giving you some chintzy anything.
That's right. And so, as we do every week, you're welcome to call in the last segment and participate in the quiz. And if you don't, it's cool too, because then Alon and Rich will be my guinea pigs.
By the way, here's a prize for if you win. If you so choose, I will install Second Life and I'll give you a high five in Second Life. How about that?
That's good. You know, this would be a good way for me to clear out a lot of the old games that I have that are sometimes even still wrapped. I just start shipping out my old crap.
It's possible.
Like, so, we just unwrapped Metallica Guitar Hero this weekend.
Yeah. So apparently we're open to negotiation with prizes. But anyway.
All right. So
let me just give the topic out for later.
In advance?
In advance. The topic will be, for this quiz coming up later on, what games do not piss Ara off?
We're looking for exact titles.
Exact titles.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
That I've played. If I haven't played, it doesn't count.
There were a couple good guesses in chat.
If you can guess a game, even a couple of games, that don't piss me off, then you get major kudos.
This is good for our longtime listeners who pay attention to the source of games.
Because you all know how ornery I really am.
And any new listeners, good luck.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so enough about that.
All right, but before we get off of that subject, 866-536-1100, that's the phone
number. That's good, thank you.
Right, go to the website, we repeat it over there. All right, so we've got a few minutes before the first break, and I just, you know, I break out the iPhone on my way out the door, on the way to the show, I look at some of my emails that I've got, and inevitably I just get tens and tens of press releases and things, especially immediately before shows like E3 is coming up. And usually I don't read them because they're mostly crap I don't care about, and they end up getting repeated on Joystick or something. But I found one today that caught my eye for one reason, and I'm going to give you a little cliffhanger by not telling you what that reason is until the end. And I'm also going to bet that this hasn't been repeated on some other website already. All right, so the title of this email I got, or the subject, is Wash Ease. That's a brand name. Wash Ease announced as official site sponsor of StripesGamer.com.
Okay, is that like Slapchop?
No. It's apparently some sort of laundry tool. Now, remember, I get emails related to gaming. So, Wash Ease announced as official site sponsor of StripesGamer.com. I'm going to try and not read this whole thing, but I don't have it memorized.
Is it pitched by Billy Mays?
No, listen to this. Wash Ease 3-in-1 laundry sheets. Now, what the hell is a 3-in-1? I don't even know what three components of laundry sheets exist.
It's kind of like a AAA title.
But Wash Ease 3-in-1 laundry sheets has made a major financial commitment as the first official sponsor of StripesGamer.com, the only website specifically designed to serve U.S. military gamers and affiliated personnel. The partnership is designed to continue over the next 3 years with greatest effort.
Are you kidding me?
I'm
U.S.
this.
Military gamers.
There are plenty of them.
That's like having at school, like, I don't even know. That's
all right.
Some kind of club.
So continuing, the partnership is designed to continue over the next 3 years with the greatest effort being focused on the critical early development stages of the site. All right. So there's a new site coming out, and somehow they got probably someone's cousin works at Wash Ease.
I mean, if you're in the military, you probably have to wash your clothes pretty often.
So where's the part that was? Okay. There's a quote from Pat Thielk, the CEO of Consumer Solutions, Inc., the makers of Wash Ease, and an airborne infantryman back in the day. So I guess he used to be in the military.
So he knows how often his clothes get soiled.
Yeah, there's no slowdown in national security, video gaming, or doing laundry. For years, Wash Ease has enjoyed the loyal support of customers in the military, and Stripes Gamer seemed like a great opportunity. So I don't know how Stripes Gamer convinced these people to sponsor them, but I am ready to start soliciting for sponsorship since they can apparently get it from laundry people. But anyway, you ask, why did I even bother to read this one?
Why?
You haven't asked.
Why do you even bother
reading that one? There it is. Now, you probably won't know, Rich, but Ara, I have a feeling you'll get a tickle from this. The email was sent by and is listed, the contact listed for the email, the Vice President of Business Development, Consumer Solutions Gaming, LLC, Jason Bailey.
Okay.
Does that mean anything to you?
Nope.
Really?
I know someone with the first name Jason and someone with the last name Bailey, but not both.
See, the problem here is that I actually used to confuse what is really Justin Bailey for Jason Bailey. So in my brain, this is actually Justin Bailey. Does that mean anything to you guys?
Yeah, so
I know
obviously
Justin
that
Bailey
means
is.
Something. Yes.
Okay.
That means something to me.
I look at this, I'm like, what are we talking about? Are these people fooling with me, just trying to get me to read this by saying it's from the famous Jason Bailey, which is really should be Justin Bailey?
Well, you know, have a couple drinks and then I'll turn it.
This is what goes on in my head. Things like that trigger craziness. And like we were talking about crazy game
codes.
Why would
you not think I know what Justin Bailey is?
Oh, come on, because you're 12.
I'm not 12.
Okay, 13.
And I've played all of the Metroid games, except for Metroid Prime 3 because it's bollocks, but that's okay.
But my point is that video game, I've said time and time again that video game codes and video game, like, some amount of the trivia and the history in video gaming sort of becomes embedded in our lives. Now, I really don't, I think this is just coincidence, but it would be funny to start using stuff like that. Like, let's send out a press release as Justin Bailey and see how many people read it, even though it's about stupid things like laundry. I have no idea.
Yeah.
how this happened.
Actually,
but...
in regards to laundry, Justin Bailey would be like the perfect name to send it from.
Why? It's, for people who don't know, Justin Bailey was like the big final crazy code for Metroid, the original Metroid on
the
NES.
And it was completely unintentional, I might add. It was actually not designed to be put in. It just happened to work.
Really?
Yep.
I don't believe that.
It's true.
No, I thought it was intended. It was like some programmer's kid.
That's not what I read.
All right. Well, listen, I'm not going to claim to really know. But we'll be back after the break to talk about more important things.
Arizona's News Talk Leader, KFNX, AM 1100.
All right, we're back. It's Chatterbox. It's video games. It's radio.
So it's Chatterbox Video Game Radio.
That's right. Now, last time we were talking about a game called Demon's Souls, and this is really funny because we went on and on and on and on and on about it, and then we started going on and on and on and on about another game called Kingsfield.
Now, let me interject, though. Before we were talking about Demon's Soul, we made sure to mention that you should go to uat.edu, which is the website
for
the University of Advanced Lake Technology.
And we do it yet again.
That's a slick looking website that I can see in the reflection of that
Isn't
window.
That? Don't you like the Golgatron sign?
It's nice.
But it's no uat.edu. People who go there geeked at birth. I saw their billboard today. It was a little fetus.
Yep.
It was geeked at birth.
It's kind of weird, but yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of scary, but okay, that's cool.
All right.
So, so I found out that Demon's Souls was, in fact, the spiritual successor to the highly, it's not highly lauded because a lot of people hate it. And I wouldn't say it's even controversial because just a lot of people really hate it. So,
like last week when I was talking about how bad a game it was.
Right. So, even though I am a fan of Kingsfield through and through, I will admit that it's thoroughly hated game. And yes, Demon's Souls is in fact the spiritual successor to that game. And so now I'm all giddy and excited, and I'm even more excited because apparently
makes you think they'll do it well this time?
No, they've done it well almost every time.
Just not last time?
The last time was
You're just the only
one
who thought so.
No, well, I mean, there's about five of us who think so, but, you know, not everyone's able to see the beauty in things.
I might have to take this game out.
So maybe they spent all this time making sure it is attractive to all the other people, and now you won't like it anymore.
Well, no. I know, I have awesome. Heard that it is as bone-crushingly, insanely hard as all the other ones.
The word that I've heard is that it's actually like a very good game. You definitely won't like it.
If it's hard, yeah. I just won't.
And okay, so where are we at? So the funny thing is, right, it came out in Japan, and it came out in, I think there was a Korean territory version and a Hong Kong or other Asian territory version. And in fact, the Hong Kong version, right, not only does it work on a US PS3, but it also just happens to have English language available as an option. So guess what my next game purchase is going to be?
You're going to get it?
Heck yeah.
Sweet.
Actually, you know what? No, I do have to qualify that. I found out that one of my friends has it, so I'm going to check it out first. Dude. Because I've been burned by From Software so many times.
Well, I want to see that. Can you make sure that, like, you borrow it, get a hold of it?
Yeah,
so that I can play it?
We can arrange something, yeah.
A thought hit my head, and I don't want to forget
That's
it.
That's rare.
This is completely unrelated to Demon's Soul. Remember there's that, like, the Capcom fighting game versus, like, all those anime characters, whatever?
Tatsunoko versus Capcom. It's coming out.
It's coming out in America.
Yeah, crazy.
Because talked about it, like, a month ago, saying, oh, it's never going to happen.
Okay, so here's the thing.
It's actually not official yet. They claim that they're going to announce it at E3.
So apparently, game we talk about, what we assert is not going to come out, ends up coming out.
Yeah.
Apparently.
So we should do that more often.
I read that, and I was like, what?
That's the power. We gave it the Chatterbox bump.
That's right. So here's another game that just came out a couple days ago. On the 360, it's Raiden Fighters.
So what is that, like a bunch of spaceships fighting, like back in Fighting Vipers days when the Daytona car was a fighter?
No. It's not Raiden from Mortal Kombat. It's Raiden, the old Seibu Kaihatsu
what I'm
shooter
saying is,
game.
Yeah, the Raiden Fighters, a bunch of spaceships fighting,
yes.
Like the Daytona car fought.
Yeah, I don't know what Daytona, what?
You remember in Fighting Vipers, you could unlock the Daytona 500 car
from
Sega?
There's no connection to fighting games.
Well, you said it's Raiden fighters, so I'm like,
yeah.
It's going to be spaceships
yes.
fighting each other.
No.
I don't know why I had to say that three times. But
you threw me for a loop with the fighting game reference.
So what are they fighting?
Well, it's a shooter. It's a straight-up shooter. It's I'm of two minds of this stuff. This stuff always it pisses me off.
How can it be any better or different than their previous shooters? They've made a million of them.
Well, it's not. And that's the thing. Like, I like to see shooters come out because I just enjoy the genre. I'm a proponent of the genre. I'm an evangelist, even, you might say. But then at the same time, I'm thoroughly saddened because I don't see very many new, interesting, original shooters. I just see remakes or crazy, crazy, weird stuff, which we'll get into later on. But, yeah, this is just – it's basically just three of the Raiden games in a collection – and a bunch of options that you can select from, and that's pretty much it.
Lame.
So I think it's kind of lame. I'm glad that they're putting out a shooter. I'm not glad that it's a game I've played 30 million times 20 years ago, but or maybe 10, but still.
That is kind of lame.
So that's what that is.
I wonder, so you have developed some fighting-like game, given that you were on the Red Star.
Fighting-like and shooting-like, you could say, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, because you did the shooter parts.
Right.
Right? What could possibly be done with a shooter to make it different and more interesting these days?
Well, think about this, right? If you look at how certain developers make shooters, look at how Treasure makes their shooters. They're actually very, very original. I mean, they take established conventions, but then they do very original things with them, right? Like Radiant Silvergun.
With, like, the sword thing?
Right, right. Well, not just that, but, I mean, like, the behavior of, you know, enemies is one thing, right? Or bosses, you know, just the kind of different things that they challenge you with, the kind of environments that they put you through, you know? Like, Radiant Silvergun is probably one of the best examples of that sort of thing because it's original and interesting through and through. And it keeps most of the regular conventions. Now, that's completely different from, let's say, like a Raiden game or like Dodonpachi. Or, I mean, although Dodonpachi is probably one of the better examples of those types of games. But these vertical shooters, right? A lot of these vertical shooters, they're so cookie cutter. They've become so repetitive in terms of they borrow too much from the previous. And it just
issue. It seems like it would be wholly boring.
It is. But there's a lot more that you can do, and the different things that you can do to make a game interesting are accomplished in subtle ways. You know, it's not always about doing something, you know, mechanically just absolutely innovative. And it's kind of funny that you're asking me about this because this kind of leads into this other topic I wanted to talk about today, which is the one where, you know, in this recent Jonathan Blow interview, he says that, you know what, like, innovation shouldn't necessarily be pursued as something inherently good, because if you do that, you'll often find that you won't get a lot of depth out of it. And it's not necessarily that innovative things don't have depth, but it's just that if you focus on innovation over everything else, you forget the subtle and other important things that make a game interesting. And so, you know, just pursuing innovation by itself is not the best thing in the world.
He was saying that it leads to gimmicky gameplay.
Right, right. So now that we're just talking about this already, let me read you this quote, which is from an interview that was done on the Independent Gaming Source. So Jonathan Blow, this was the guy who made Braid, by the way.
By the way, the Independent Gaming Source is TIGsource.com.
Right. So here's a quote, which I think this is just one of the most, like I was telling you before the show, one of the most glorious things I've ever heard a designer say in my life. And I'm not even exaggerating by saying this, and hopefully you'll see some of what I saw in this. Anyway, John says, I think gameplay innovation can result in things that are interesting, but at the same time, it doesn't automatically result in something that is deep. Often, it's a gimmick. I'm interested in the deepness and richness of game design. You can get that with deliberate innovation or without. I think the issues are orthogonal. Orthogonal, by the way, technically, it means perpendicular, but in the way he's using it is kind of like he means they're independent of each other. At the same time, I think if a designer is working on something he really cares about and is really exploring some ideas in his own style, bringing his own particular insight to the table, then he will automatically come up with something different than most other games. Furthermore, this will be a deeper, more compelling kind of innovation. So what he's kind of getting at is, I mean, if you try to just pursue innovation just for its own sake, it's not... you're not gonna, you'll miss a lot of things. There's a lot of subtlety in making a game, you know, and it's kind of ironic because it's funny in my experiences, right? In a lot of, you know, I guess the more commercial gaming endeavors I've been involved in, right? There's, I don't think you can do really great stuff in a sufficiently, well, how should I put this? In a setting where there's a sufficient number of people contributing or vested in what's in the pot, if that makes any sense.
You mean you can't do anything interesting when you have lots of people?
Basically.
Well.
Or it's harder to do something really interesting when there's lots of people involved.
I agree with you because...
But let's not get off track, right?
Okay.
So let's stay on this topic here.
I really don't want to.
So
I want to touch on that, right?
All right, fine, touch on it.
If you have, it's the whole like too many cooks in the kitchen thing, right? So I'm worried that our listeners will say you can't make a good game with a big team.
You can.
What you're saying is you can't have a good game where there's a big team all being the decision makers.
Well, there's that, right? But I think that I'm making some assumptions here that maybe a lot of people aren't aware of, right? Like, for example, you know, when teams get really, really big, right, usually there are more than one person who make really important decisions and things like that, at least design-wise even. There's a lot of people who can say no to things and can steer and twist the game in all different directions that it's just kind of like – it's just a side effect of the fact that you have – a lot of people working on a game. You know, it's not for any other reason than that.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people and then a lot of approval gates, right?
Right, right. Like stuff like that, you know? And so, you know, I think what John Blow is getting at is that, you know, there's, you know, game design in a way is kind of like it's an expression of your personality. You know, I mean, like I've kind of found like in the games that I've been able to work on and actually make my own decisions that I've been able to kind of like, I don't know, like express this kind of like, This kind of like fragment of meanness in it, you know, if I can indulge myself for a moment here, you know, and, you know, some people that, you know, have played my games that I've worked on, they've told me that there's a certain like aura-ness to it. Now, I don't know if aura-ness is good or bad. It's just aura-ness, right? But I think that John Blow is trying to say that there's, you know, and anybody who can actually exert enough of themselves into it, you get to see some of that, you know, and I think that at least, like, I think that has some value, you know, that just goes back to, you know, just having an authorial control over a piece of art.
All right, I'll give some thoughts when we get back. During the break, you can read your own aura-ness over at Golgatron.com.
Thanks.
Newest article, all about aura. Well, his thoughts.
Sort of.
We'll be back.
Me, Mario. You're listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. It's a number one. Woohoo!
And we are back. More Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Got two more segments left. If anybody wants to give us a call next segment for the Chatterbox Quiz, feel free to do so at 866-536-1100. If you're listening to the podcast, don't do that, because you'll probably call in to KFNX and get some crazy other radio show.
And while that may be fun, it's not going to be our show.
Exactly. So you were talking about Jonathan Blow's interview. So I want to give a little bit more background, because we didn't really get into that. So there's this website, The Independent Gaming Source. I think that's what it's called. Yeah, Independent Gaming...
Yes,
their website doesn't. Correct. Their banner doesn't even say what it's called.
It just says Independent Gaming Source. It's that indie. It's so indie.
Yeah. Actually, look at the website. There's a lot of interesting stuff because a lot of people miss, you know, they don't see the cool games that come out of the indie gaming scene. So it's a good place to go. John Blow is known as an indie gamer. He goes on, does this interview, and he mentions what Ara mentioned about how innovation doesn't necessarily mean interesting gameplay.
Right. So,
and, I mean,
go ahead.
Like I said to you before we started the show, at this age, given that I've played so many games at this point in my life, I've gotten to the point where innovation is necessary in order for me to be interested. But there's still the point that John's making that innovation doesn't mean interesting.
Right. Well, the interesting thing, to reuse the word again, is that I think he's also trying to convey that you can find something innovative in a way that's not exactly obvious or even perceptible right away. And by that I mean that this is the problem with games in general, is that a lot of the beauty in them can't really be appreciated until you expose yourself to it for a certain amount of time. You can't really understand, you know, the beauty in...
Are you trying to talk about Mad World again?
...in certain game mechanics. I mean, no, but now that you mention it, that could be applicable to this situation.
No. That game's terrible.
Okay, look, let's not get off track, guys, all right? So, come on, you know that I'm easily distracted. So basically...
I think you're more willing to accept subtle change.
Well, the thing is, there's subtle changes... can actually bring about, I mean, subtle changes in the way games work can actually bring about even larger changes. It's just that it's harder to notice them unless you've played the game for a while. You know, there's certain things, there's certain dynamics in games that you don't notice until you've played a game for, you know, I don't know, 5-6 hours, right?
Like, maybe just an example that Alon would appreciate on Geometry Wars.
Good
one
game.
Thing that you would point out is that when you move forward, your bullets go faster than when you move backwards and shoot behind you.
Key component to the game.
So, I mean, that's like a tiny little thing that's like essential to
okay,
the game.
Okay, so as much as I hate that game and it pisses me off, good example, right? So also, if I could go back to what we were saying before the break and kind of put my ego on a shelf, and actually more like in the corner, right? You know, there are some people who seem to have managed to kind of like express their personality through games, even despite, you know, the corporate structure. And what I'm talking about is like people like, you know, like Hideo Kojima, right? There's a Kojima-ness to his games, right? There's a Tim Schafer-ness to Tim Schafer games.
I want to give an example. Stay on Hideo here for a second. Yeah. What games has he made other than Metal Gear?
Metal Gear? Well, he's worked on other games, but Metal Gear is really like his main thing, right? I mean, like there's Boktai, right? So Boktai is a Game Boy game, which has, you know, kind of like some stealthy features in it.
That was his?
That was his.
All right.
There's some other PS2 game that he did, and I can't think of what it's called.
I'm trying to establish what you're saying and try to agree with you. I'm not trying to be rhetorical.
Right. Like, well, either way.
I mean, Metal Gear, obviously, Metal Gears are all going to be like other Metal Gears, right? But what else has he made that I could... I mean, I haven't played Boktai, and like nobody did.
Right.
So,
well, I mean, think about Tim Schafer, right?
A little bit.
Tim Schafer's games have all been, you know, even though have all been rather different, and there's a particular quality that's consistent through all of them.
I'll give you Tim Schafer.
I don't know if this counts for you, but would Sid Meier somewhere be on that list possibly?
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, he puts his names on his games.
Yeah.
And his games
they
are
all have
awesome.
That commonality.
I mean, some are more obvious than others in terms of like what, you know, how much is noticeable, right? As being, you know, uniquely from that person. And I'm sure that that's, you know, that's a function of, you know, the kind of like corporate structure that those people have had to deal with, you know. But I really think like, you know, some of these people, they are like truly like the alpha dogs of the industry, and in that they've been able to, despite, you know, all the machinations of the corporate structure, express what they've needed to and wanted to express in a game, which I think is really cool. But anyway, that's kind of getting us off track.
We don't do that here.
No,
we
but
never
it's,
go
no,
off
but
on
it's,
tangents.
It's cool. What I wanted to lead this up to, right, was there's this game called Scribblenauts. Okay.
Scribblenauts. Just read about it now because you showed me the paper.
Right. And this is I think it's incredibly relevant to this discussion.
I can't wait to see if you say that it's going to be a good or bad game.
And okay, well, maybe you can guess by because if it was interesting, I wouldn't bring it up. I think if I thought it was a really good, innovative game, I wouldn't bring it up. But so here's how Scribblenauts works, right? This is a Game Boy game where basically you can write – obviously it hasn't come out yet. They're still developing it. You can write any word, apparently, any word you want, right? And the game will parse the word and actually conjure and produce – the physical manifestation of that word into your world, right? So if you write dog, you see a dog. If you write unicycle, then a unicycle appears, right? And so they're
it's important to note that you don't just see an image of it. Like, it actually has tangible functions in the game.
Right, it's functional, and sometimes even if you write, like, dog and unicycle, even both of those can go together, right? And they actually interact with each other by, I don't know, the dog's riding the unicycle or whatever.
Yeah, that's not...
Dog and mailman.
So
do it now.
So here's the thing. their angle, right, and which is making everyone go nuts because they're so excited, is that, like, oh, you can write anything you want, almost any single thing.
Noun.
Any noun, right? And you will put, it will appear in the game. You know, and how cool is that? And on the face of it, you know, really, you can't argue with the coolness of that. That is super cool. You know, but then I find myself asking, what kind of game is this, right? Is this going to be an interesting game?
Is there a purpose behind it?
Is there a point to it? And that's the thing. There doesn't seem to be. They're so focused on conveying and pitching to everybody that, look how cool this thing is, right? That it's like remarkably, it's like they've kind of mesmerized everyone into not caring about any other aspect of it other than the fact that I can write a word and see it appear in the game and it has some function.
No, but there's more to it than that. And Rich, you didn't read the article, so you don't know.
I did read it.
Did you?
But all they talked about was writing Tabasco sauce, and it didn't
work. No, it says, like, okay, his goal, he's got to get a star on each level. There's a star somewhere, and the character in
it. So it's like a puzzle game?
A puzzle game. So he has to access that star.
I didn't understand from when I read it.
So there's one where, like, he's on a desert island, and there's a star that's physically far away from him, and if you write submarine on it, then you get a submarine. He can interact with the submarine to go
like,
get
what?
It.
Like, sure. That's not difficult, though.
No, but maybe bridge is an answer. But obviously, that's one example, and it's probably an early example.
Yeah.
You may have to write several things, make like a Rube Goldberg machine to get to this object, or it might be that you can't get to it. You have to build something else
but
so that,
like,
the star moves to you.
It's like a puzzle game with as many options as you want.
Right, which if you really think about
but
it, right?
But you have to come up with them.
Right, if you think about
Motorboat.
It. Motorboat. Now, here's the thing. Here's the flaw that I see in here, right? I mean, the thing that immediately jumps out to me as a designer, I'm sure every designer will think of this, is that, you know, there's, if you have a puzzle, right, and let's say you have, you know, n number of means to solve that puzzle, right? Now, if you have a palette of 1,000 different things you can use, and it just ends up that because there's 1,000 different things, about 500 of them will solve the puzzle, right? As a designer, I find myself asking the question, why are we giving you 500 solutions, you know, out of 1,000 options? It's just, it's kind of crazy.
Well, you don't know enough about the game. It might be that 500 things could do it when used in conjunction with each other, but maybe they say you have enough mana or power or juice or whatever to create only two things, and you have to accomplish this by only making two things. I mean,
but then
they can produce...
But that's just like saying,
Maybe. Okay, look. Some of that remains to be seen, obviously, because the game isn't done yet. So we really can't pass the final judgment on
it. It just doesn't make sense as a puzzle
But you're
game.
Trying to.
But here's the thing. No. What I'm passing judgment on is the fact that they're pitching this element, right? They're advertising this element of it, and nobody seems to care about anything other than the fact that I can anything I can think of, I can put in the game, right? And in fact, what the game has now become for everybody else is not a game about solving puzzles, but a game about actually trying to stump the system, right? And that's everybody's attraction toward it. If you look at, you know, for example, the post on Kotaku about it and look at people's comments, right? Nobody cares about the game other than this weird meta game of, I'm going to try and stump this game and see if I can put in a word that it won't accept, or play the other game of, oh, let me see what it will accept and then let me see what happens, right? Which is, it's innovative. It's interesting. Is it deep? I don't think it's going to be deep.
But although John Blow said he's interested in deep gameplay, not everybody is.
Not everybody
is. I think that sounds really interesting as long as their puzzles are developed.
You know what?
Well.
And not everybody is. And John Blow will say that. And I will say it too, that, you know what? It doesn't, like, games don't have to be for everybody, you know? So anyway, I'm sorry I interrupted you, but we'll let
I'll
have your
say something later.
Come back.
All right. We'll be back with the magnificent quiz, which I'm scared to even participate in. Give us a call at 866-536-1100 if you would like to participate in the What Games Does Aura Not Have Issue With? We'll be right back. We are back. Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Check us out at chatterboxgameshow.com and take a look at our new website, golgotron.com. G-O-L-G-O T-R-O-N. We'll get into Ara's quiz in a few minutes, hopefully. But you've wanted to talk about 1 versus 100 for quite a while now.
I kind of do want to mention some stuff on that.
Now, I believe you wrote about it on Golgatron.com.
I did.
To some extent.
And apparently my writing sucks, but that's okay.
I didn't say it sucks. I'd like to see you use a contraction once in a while.
Oh, contractions.
You're a human being. That's all I'm saying.
But it's writing.
It is.
I don't know. It just never... I don't like contractions in writing.
Don't pay attention to your sixth grade teachers who told you not to use them because they were idiots.
No, it's I'm not smarter my sixth than them. Grade teachers. I'm just saying I don't like reading conjunctions or contractions, not conjunctions, in writing.
Was I confusing those two? Anyway.
No, I confused them. It okay. was me, not you.
That's cool. So, 1 versus 100. Yeah. You're excited about this game.
Mm-hmm. Can I say something on the braid thing first, though? Or the
innovation?
Scribble not...
Scribble-taculous?
Whatever the crap it's called.
Sure.
It doesn't make sense to me as a game mechanic in any sort of puzzle game. Because, I mean, to reference back to braid is... It takes the mechanic of time manipulation in different ways and makes a puzzle game. And to get to, you know, the certain things you're trying to collect, there's a specific way you have to do it. And maybe there's a little bit differences here and there, but the puzzle game, the point of that is to say you need to figure out the way to do it that the developer designed. And that's the fun in it. And if the game Braid was just, oh, you can manipulate time and just do stuff, like it wouldn't be a game at all. It would just be a mechanic by itself that would be really, really boring. So if you look at this mechanic of just writing nouns and then a thing appears on screen, if you're just trying to figure out what they didn't program into the game, it'd get boring
really
quick.
That's not the point of the game. And I think you're making a lot of assumptions about what the game is going to be like.
But and maybe it's not a puzzle game. Maybe it's not anything I can imagine. But like you had said, if it's a puzzle game, I just don't think it would end up being nearly as fun as I'd want it to be. Like, oh, if you're on this spot and you have to get to this island, I'd be like, okay, let's build a skyscraper and then blow it up at the bottom to make it fall over and maybe I'll land on the island.
Here's the thing.
I'd do stupid stuff like that.
If you described Braid in a 10-second elevator speech to me, I would have said the same thing to you. Like, I don't know how that's going to be interesting. Like, I can't imagine what they're going to do that makes a puzzle out of that.
I would just need to see a lot more of the actual game to get excited about it. And like basically what Ar was saying. People are getting excited about this mechanic itself, and that's all they care about.
Because they're imagining the cool things that can come from it. I have a hard time imagining
it. And I am imagining the things that I'd want to do in a game, because they're saying, you can do anything with nouns. But then all the stuff I'd want to do, they would not allow me to do.
Because it's a kid's game?
I'd be like, oh, I want to take a duck, and then I want to launch it in a cannon. Like, I would just do stupid crap like that. If they're going to tell me, you can do nouns and do whatever you want, and it's going to happen on a screen, well, it would never work.
Maybe
what
their
I'd
next
want
game
do.
Will be all verbs.
Yeah.
That'd be more interesting to you. What are you going to do with that duck?
And it'd be like
can't say on the air.
You'd have to have, like, 4 Blu-rays to handle all of that content.
Okay. But
anyways.
Fine. So now tell me about why you're so excited about 1 versus 100. Xbox Live game.
Yeah.
Based on a game show.
Based on the game show. Very simple game. They have one contestant. They ask him questions. And if he gets it right, hooray, he wins. If he doesn't, then he loses, obviously. But there's the mob of 100 that they get to answer the questions as well. So if basically for every person in the mob that gets it wrong, the contestant gets more money. And if the contestant loses, however much money they have, gets split between the mob members. It's pretty basic.
Okay, but what makes this special on Xbox Live?
What makes it exciting for me is basically...
Oh my god! That's my rich oh my god.
Yeah. Oh my god! It's gonna be awesome. It's basically taking what's a TV show, a game show that is really popular. I mean, game shows in general are very popular on television.
Sure.
And there's never been a game like this on a video game. I mean, they might make some sort of, a 4-player version of a game similar to 1 versus 100 or something like that. But everybody that has Xbox Live Gold can play this game. It's going to...
I thought they're going to extend it to Xbox Live Silver as well. No?
Not that I've heard. Not okay. yet. But basically, they're going to have a live host. Everybody has their avatars, so it's this whole virtual world. There's going to be a host, Chris something Cashman, I think his name is. So it's going to be a live host talking, interacting with people in the game. They're going to have unique questions every single show, and it's going to be like a 14-week season. So it's like an actual produced game every week or twice a week.
Then that means very few people are going to be able to play.
Well, there's going to be the one person that can play. There's going to be the 100 people in the mob. And then everybody else can still play along with it. And so if they do well just playing with the game as an audience member, then they're more likely to be selected as a mob member or as the one person.
Okay. That's so interesting.
All right, I'm back.
It's just really excited me because, I mean, you can get in a group with, like, it could be, like, me and you and Aura and people online, and we can be in our Xbox Live party, and we can go on, and we can all watch/play 1v100.
Then let's go do that together.
Is this what's this music here?
This is our lead-in music. We're getting excited.
I'm pretty excited about
that. From game show to quiz show.
Is this all right, this is like my introduction theme song. Man. Okay, well, maybe we should make it my theme song.
The 1v100.
I don't know if we can steal it for your themes.
I just think this game, it can open a lot of doors for.
It could also be horribly boring.
I mean, the game might not be good, but the concept behind it really excites me because it's taking something
so innovative, but maybe not interesting.
I think it will be interesting because it's a fun show to watch.
Yes.
It's a fun show to watch, and so if they're able to take this and continue with it. I mean, instead of just watching game shows every week,
all right,
there's a huge market that would play along with it and get some sort of rewards.
In an effort to continue making our show interesting to listen to, we're going to move into the quiz that we've promised.
Yep.
We have two listeners on hold, John and Justin. We're ready.
Ooh.
Ready to bring on John from Vegas. We've spoken to John before.
So here's how we're going to do it, okay? To make it fair, right? If there's a game that pisses me off, right, I'll actually tell you what pisses me off about it.
So if I can't tell you, that means
either I haven't played it and that you have to pick another one, or B, you have indeed picked a game that does not piss me off.
And none of this obscure crap just to make us keep guessing 50 games. That's not the point of this.
Also, do you know your list of five?
We'll just see if we can do a couple since we've got, you know, a few lines already. We want to give all the callers a chance.
Okay.
All right, Johnny, step right up. You are on the air with Chatterbox. Name a game that doesn't piss Aura off.
Wait, what kind of time frame do I have? Can I go
30
like
seconds,
back?
Starting now.
Any
start
time frame.
Naming games.
It's got to be a video game.
Mega Man X.
Ooh, was that the one on Super Nintendo?
Yes, that's the first one on Super Nintendo.
Man, you know what? Those Mega Man games, they all piss me off.
And why?
It's, I don't know, just like the bone-crushing, just absolutely no room to correct from your failure kind of difficulty.
Yes. Not the fact that they're all exactly the same?
Yes, I used the difficulty card.
Okay, unacceptable.
I did it.
Let's name another one.
Disgaea, Hour of Darkness.
Disgaea, Hour of Darkness.
That's a tough one. See, because Disgaea...
It's love-hate.
The thing about Disgaea is that I spent 250 hours on it.
So he hates the fact that it stole his life.
But then, so I loved it, but then I hate the fact that I lost 250 hours for accomplishing absolutely nothing.
Now, you could say the same thing about Oblivion.
Yes, so don't pick Oblivion.
Okay, do you have one other guess, John, before we move on?
Rock Band.
Rock Band. Why does Rock Band piss
Rock
you off?
Band. You know what? Rock Band doesn't piss me off.
How could it? How could you get mad at me?
Ironically,
that's the correct answer.
Ironically, ding, ding. Rock Band does actually piss me off a little bit.
Really?
Really.
I'm surprised because I actually like Rock Band.
But it's not my game today. This is Aura's game. So thank you so much, John.
Now,
we're going to move on.
Now that we've mentioned Rock Band, can we just disqualify Guitar Hero?
Yes, we can.
Yes.
Okay. So nobody call in and say Guitar Hero.
All right, Justin from British Columbia. We have so many Canadian listeners.
Oh, crap. I'm,
Hello?
I wiped or blanked out.
How's it going?
Blanked out? You had a game in your mind just a minute ago. I know you've got another one deep down in there.
Castlevania.
Which Castlevania?
Good question.
The very original one.
The very first one. Let's see. You know what? I am a big fan of Castlevania games in general. In general. However, man, that first one, I got to say, man, by the time you get to...
That game pissed me off?
Well, let me tell you. By the time you get to, like, Frankenstein and those later levels, there's just or even before that, like, what was it, like level 13 where you're like in the catacombs or like underground?
I think level
bones?
13 is the Dracula level.
Well, maybe before that.
I don't know. Yeah. I could never get past death with my friend, and like we would try. I would go over there, stay over his house like every weekend,
yeah.
And we would try to get past the second to last guy, the Grim Reaper.
Yeah.
And I think we did it once, but we had like one life left. Yeah. Game over. We could never get through the Dracula level.
I'll give you half credit on that one because I have to fall back on the it just ended up getting way too hard later on.
Just because there's not enough lives. The not enough lives is not a way to make a game hard to me.
It wasn't just that, right? Like they made you like jump in places and you can't have absolutely no correction in your jump whatsoever, which is, you know, it's very old school, you know, but you know.
Yeah.
All right, you try again.
Give another try.
Sonic 2.
Sonic 2.
Hedgehog.
Okay, so what, like
Supersonic?
Like the first one, but less interesting.
Why less interesting? Sonic 2 was better than the first one.
Yeah, it was.
By far.
I didn't think so. I
easily
the first
better.
One.
Well, you're wrong.
Well, yep. Hey, it's my quiz, so I'm right.
Supersonic, man.
All right, one more. Let's do one more.
How about Dead Rising?
Dead Rising.
There's so many things to be upset about with that game.
Yeah. That's too easy. Come on. Like, I don't
save
even need
system.
To say it. Yes, this crazy save system.
For the record, people are saying Superman 64. That's obvious. Keyboard Mania.
Keyboard Mania is one that I do like. And
Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo.
You can't.
All right. Somebody
Street Fighter 2 Turbo
Ikaruga.
Is good. Ikaruga does not piss me off.
And then also, somebody earlier mentioned the Red Star.
The Red... I can't... No, come on. Come
though
on.
There are a few things that piss you off about that game.
Did not
well,
sell
yes.
Because you know they didn't get implemented.
Actually, there are things that even piss me off about games that I worked on.
Yeah.
Well, sadly, listener, we are at the end of our show. So thank you for visiting. Check out ChatterboxGameShow.com. Please check out Golgotron.com, especially while we're at E3 in a couple weeks. Of course, we means me. You two will be doing the show on your own come E3 time. And, well, I appreciate that you're here to do that for us all. If you have any questions, email us. We'll be back next week.
Good night, guys.
You've been listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Tune in next week for more tips and info and the latest and greatest in video gaming. And remember, all your base are belong to us.